springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Garnishing your ham with pineapple? Pair it with a delicious Chardonnay to make their taste buds swirl.
Deviled eggs are even better when paired with a light, dry wine like a bubbly Prosecco or a Pinot Grigio.
For me, nothing beats recommending a great wine. And with such an extensive selection, I can help you find the perfect one in your budget.
Whether you're hosting or just bringing the wine, we love to share our always low prices and ridiculous selection. This spring at Total Wine & More. Cheers.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? What's going on, brother?
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hang, Sangue, this your boy, N-O-R-E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players in music and sports.
You know what I mean?
The most professional, unprofessional podcast.
This is Drinks Champ Radio, where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go!
Yang, 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 yang. It's your boy, N.R.A.
What up, is that Crazy Hood Cuban DJ EFN?
And this is Drink Chance Motherfucking Podcast. Make some noise! Yo, man, we had some crazy guests in the last week. We haven't been able to update... Our Drink Champs army. I don't want to call them fans because they're way more than fans. They're an army. They're a part of us. So what was the past guest we just had?
We had Kenny Anderson. We had Havoc.
Uncle Murder and Mado.
We had Raekwon. And then 50.
And then 50, 50
part
man.
1 and 2.
50 part 1 and 2, man. We did 1.8 with him total.
So
we're just giving it.
And we launched the videos, the full videos, which the fans have been going crazy for.
Yes, fans. We finally did it. Hopefully by the time this comes out, this won't be. We also going to give you the Throwback Thursdays.
Yep. I thought you didn't want to call it that.
I hate calling it Throwback Thursdays, but we're going to rewind. We're going to give you the new episodes on Tuesdays, Tuesdays,
and then Thursdays we're going to give you the older videos.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with day one.
Yeah, starting with day one. We're going to go back. We're going to go backwards on these motherfuckers. Yeah. You feel me? But tonight's guest, you know, Currency was the first guy to come in here and turn
smoke
it into
champs.
Smoke champs. But he was undisputedly the smoke king, the smoke champ.
Over this legend that we had?
No, I'm talking about this legend. I'm talking about this legend.
This is undisputed.
Talking about Snoop. He was very easy to work with as well.
Oh, man.
Very easy.
Crazy.
He actually hit me, you know what I'm saying, to hook it up anyway. And then
and he didn't want to leave.
Yeah, he didn't. He was
very comfortable.
Yeah. So we I say without further ado, let's get into it, man. Snoop Dogg, man, the king of the West Coast on the Drink Champs. And
legend.
He drank with us and we got fucked up that night. Let's do it. Let's get into it.
Hazardous sounds, let's do this.
Woo, woo, woo. Hey, hang sangria. Hope you're savvy. This is your boy N-O-R-E.
What up? It's DJ EFN.
And this is motherfucking Drink Chance Podcast. Make some noise! And right now, we got the West Coast on. Motherfucker who took Death Row.
This is a super legend.
On his fucking back and rode it. Then when y'all niggas try to front, he went to New Orleans.
That's right.
And got motherfucking po' boy sandwiches and went platinum on you motherfuckers. And then he went back to the West Coast and showed y'all niggas who's real king of the motherfucking West Coast. And right now we talking about the legendary, the honorable, the dude who steps up for black people and black people's rights and gangsters affiliated life. Right now, we're talking about the legendary, the honorable Snoop Dogg. Make some noise!
So, Snoop. Here's a toast to the boogie.
So, Snoop, I'm going to start off by saying, you know, I seen this march that you guys recently just did. It was UN Game, and the reason why it was so acceptable and so relatable to me is because both of UN Game both a part of the same culture that I'm a part of, and then but in y'all hood it's a separation that, mm-hmm. that divides y'all, but y'all came together.
Yes.
So I want you to break that down for us, because you know,
well, you know, a lot of times we brainwash not to know, because you know it's a blueprint that's, you know, printed before we've been able to read, walk, or talk. So it's up to us to break the chains and to put a new, you know, blueprint, a new protocol in effect. And that's what happened. You know, many years ago, me and Gang forged a relationship when he was just a young homie. And, you know, always trying to guide him and lead him and direct him and give him information on life.
Right.
Because I didn't ever want to see him go down the wrong path that I went down as a youngster, because I didn't have nobody giving me no advice. So I was always giving him advice. And, you know, one day we just said, you know what, we fed up with all of this, you know, police brutality and all this shit that's going on. We was really fucking fed up to where we really wanted to do something. So when he called me, I was ready for him to tell me, let's go fuck up some shit. But, you know, he hit me with some, you know, dog.
So it was his idea?
His idea was, he called me and he was distraught. I really wasn't even paying attention to the news and shit, because it was niggas getting killed every day. So it was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
But then it would hit him so hard in the heart that when he called me, he was like, dog, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. I always come to you. I want to fuck up some shit. I'm like, nigga, I do too. Then I was like, damn, I can't lead him like that. I never led him down a dark alley. I always gave him a light. So I was like, look, call me back when you figure out what you want to do. Put a plan together. Get some protocol and some structure. And whatever you want to do, hit me up. He hit me about 2-3 in the morning. Was like, nigga, we going to meet up downtown LA at 5 in the morning. And let's just figure it out when we get there. When we got there, I came there in my gang attire, ready to go to war.
Yes, you was.
Yes, you was.
And once we got there, then he figured out what he wanted to do once we got there. Then he laid the plan down and ran down the speech and said, we want to go to, you know, the police department and reintroduce ourselves and let them introduce themselves to us and build some sort of dialogue.
And the mayor's department was a part of that from the beginning?
No.
Okay.
No. Let me tell you
how
tell you how the spirit worked. Gang figured out what we was going to do when we got there in the morning. His spirit was, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to go down there. We're not going to mash at them. We're going to talk to them and build a relationship. So as we walking down there, the police escorting us, because we built a relationship with them before we even started. They escorting us to the, you know, headquarters. When we get there, we don't even know, but it's a graduation for all of the new recruits that's about to hit the streets.
I heard about that. Which was, you guys didn't even know that was going down.
It's amazing that these is the new guys that are about to hit the streets, and they need to get an understanding with us, who are on the streets, not just me physically, but the people who actually live in these communities that you're going to be pulling over and talking to. So build a bond with them. And it was just beautiful that that happened. And then the mayor and the chief of police was there, and when they heard me and Game came in peace, they was like, you know what? We want them to come talk to us behind closed doors. And they let us come behind closed doors. And we vented and we conversed and we set up a date and a time to reestablish a relationship. And we followed up and they did some more things 2 or 3 days ago. So it's building that dialogue between the community, the leaders, and the police and the mayor. And that's what needs to be happening. You know what I'm saying?
So that way, in your opinion, right, Is that what you feel like is should be happening, is the communication? Because when I grew up, right, Snoop, I grew up and the nigga that was patrolling the hood was also the nigga that was fucking Tamara.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, but now the nigga that's patrolling the hood come from, you know, Buck Creek,
He's not from around.
Yeah. So he automatically nervous.
He don't understand our dialogue. Understand our communication.
Right.
Like, I grew up with police. Not saying that I worked with them, but we had somebody from the hood who always had an understanding with them to where they wouldn't just come in there and just bogart and just beat dogs to us. If they wanted somebody, the homies would be like, look, we ain't going to help you get him, but we damn sure not going to, you know, do nothing to prevent you from getting him. And at the same time, it's like now, if you don't have no communication, the police are scared. When they pull up, they automatically just drawing down when it should be. Let's get an understanding. This man's trying to go home, whoever he is.
Right.
He may have a family just like you, so let's communicate with him first and find out what he's going through, because you don't have to always have a, you know, negative approach, because you never know. This man may be going through the same shit you're going through.
Now, is this something you guys are going to do ongoing, or is it just the one time?
It was the spur of the moment for me, you know, because, like I said, I was ready to do something bad, but the spirit told me to do something right, and through that, we built a relationship with the police department. So now, it's dialogue going on in L.A., and that's half the battle, because before another shooting happens in L.A., we'll have some sort of communication with the chief, with the mayor. So it's like, look, even if we do get, like, some of the homies that was there, now they can say that, look, I got the mayor's number, I got the chief's number, so hold on before you bust
before
on me.
You go through,
and it's like, just that small second is all it takes to take somebody's life or to save somebody's life.
And just the images alone from that meeting was crazy.
Yeah, let's big that up right now. Let's make some noise for the goddamn images. Listen, And I also want to shout out Best Buy Liquors. They provided the liquor right now. Snoop Dogg is drinking some rosé. He ain't drink rosé, and he drinking it out of Drink Champs cup. You know, Best Buy motherfucking liquors, man. Check, you know what I'm saying? They got about four locations in Miami. You know what I mean? Kendall, two in Kendall. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to pronounce that. Naranja. And then Florida City, man. Go check out my people at Best Buy Liquor. Yo, yeah, Snoop, dude, man. So, listen, man. Mary Jane. Let's talk about that right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we did talk about, you know, that's positive. So let's make some noise for Snoop being positive. Goddamn it. All right. But now let's break.
All gangbangers do that. All gangbangers. They go positive.
Yeah. They said the last level of hustling is preaching. You know
what
I'm saying?
I like
so,
that.
But Mary Jane, I'm a weed connoisseur. I bring all my weed guys to come over here and make sure they treat you like a guinea pig. Listen.
I got some shit from California that'll blow everything.
Do you remember when we was in the hotel room? I was doing the what documentary. We came up there and this nigga smoked. Yo, my OG homies was like, yo, you let Snoop smoke the shit out of y'all niggas. Like, yo, we quit. We was like, yo, we don't want to smoke no more. And Snoop, you remember that? We was in the hotel.
Come on, nigga. I'm still the
nigga smoked us out, man. All my OG niggas, they wouldn't talk to me no more.
Pleasure
when I went back to the
hotel.
Yo, you really
satisfied customer.
So we seen the reincarnation movie.
Yes, sir.
And you also went out there with your own weed as well.
Yeah.
Is that something that Snoop has to do, is bring your own weed?
You know what? Certain parts of the world don't have my flavor, and I gotta have. It's like, you know, you can't eat. You can't eat what they eat if you ain't used to eating what they eat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like somebody who got to roll with his own chef or got to roll with his own personal trainer.
That makes sense.
That's like my chef and my personal trainer all in one, the Gangsta Gumbo. Mm.
God damn, let's make some noise for that. God damn it.
So was Miami Crippy ever any good for anybody?
Miami good.
Crippy.
Good.
No, Miami got good. I ain't even go for it. Like, maybe like 4 years ago, Miami started stepping their game up when a lot of players started migrating out here. And you know, when you migrate out here, it's a certain thing that you used to, that you accustomed to, so you got to have it your special way. So Miami started getting it. And then when you start seeing those big rappers out here and those NBA players, you know what comes with that is good money and good weed. And then the bad bitches coming, and you know, there it is there. Town is hot.
Let me big up Mr. Lee at Star Rock Clothing. You know my people's right there. But Snoop, let's break down this Mary Jane thing.
Let's break it down.
Because I've been, you know. First off, you at the end of the day, I am the second uncle in hip hop.
Yes, you are.
I might be the third. I think it might be Uncle Luke, Uncle Snoop, and then
you're
Uncle
Murder.
Right.
We gotta give it up to Uncle Luke.
And then Uncle,
We gotta give it to Luke.
Yeah, we gotta get it to Luke. I told Uncle Murder, you the little uncle. But that's my nigga.
You climbing, Murder.
But first it's Uncle Luke, Uncle Snoop.
Yeah.
And so now, I always follow your career. Me and you, contrary to popular belief, when you know the LA and the New York. Me and you has always been rock solid, and
you always
been a great guy. But I've always admired your entrepreneurial. I don't know if that's a word.
Entrepreneurial.
That's what I was going for.
You got it.
Entrepreneurial mogul skills, and I also just peeped you with the mogul with the compound out in LA. We're gonna be in LA on August 27th. Big up K-Day.
Come see me.
Yep, we gonna be there.
Nah, you on tour? That's why we're here
checked.
Right now.
We
tried to get you in LA. But this Mary Jane thing. Now, for a dude like me, who is not as smart, I can't Google, but Mary Jane works for me because I'm bozo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bozo, but Mary Jane, it shows you where the dispensary
is.
This is bigger than the app. Like, this is, explain that. I want you to explain that to the people.
Well, MaryJane.com is an encyclopedia of cannabis. It's basically giving you everything you want to know about it, the intro to the endo. Information, blogs, you know, television series, dispensaries, locations, strands,
the Wikipedia,
what it does for you, the style of it, the best shop, the best pop, the best hop. I mean, it's information. It's the information hotline. Like I say, it's the encyclopedia because it covers every aspect of cannabis and is given to you by yours truly, so you know it's the truth.
Let's make some noise for that, goddammit. So let's start on the side with my time. MaryJane.com.
Yeah, Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, you know, not Mary, but Mary. I'm talking about because we're very Mary.
Because you're very
Mary. Is it an app as well? Tree. Is it also an app?
It's the application, it's the website, it's the
web, everything.
It's all of the above. Because
he only does heroin. He doesn't smoke weed.
Oh, man. So, oh, man. Lean on it then. Lean
back. So let me just break it down for you. So now, the Mary Jane app, you go on there, and it shows you where you, like, you put in a zip code, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Like, you put it in, like, where you at, and then it shows you which, what, and if it, you know, I don't want to say if you're in an illegal state, but it doesn't matter. They take care of you wherever you at.
You don't get
snitched. They take care of you wherever you at, because I seen Big Uncle. I said, damn. I said, God damn it. Jesus Louise, Papa Jeez. Let me figure it out. How the fuck do I be a part of this? And this is something crazy, because it's Google for weed. That's the better
really
way.
Because
you don't smoke, so I got to break it down for you like that.
Yeah.
It's Google for weed. Like, you know how you want to Google who got the best taco?
That's perfect.
It's pretty much the same
it's
thing.
Like Yelp for weed. Or more. And
Google.
More.
Hey, it's better, yeah. I would say Google,
like,
because
Google.
It covers a
it's
broad
everything.
Stretch.
It's everything, yeah. So, more Google.
So also now, you on, I got to meet this guy. That, you know, I never met Wiz Khalifa. This is my guy. We spoke, we kicked it, but I've never spoke, because he has one of the worst internet scenes I've ever seen in life. He kicked somebody out with a blunt. Did you ever see that footage?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Well, he was in a studio session. I'm looking, because I'm a fan of Wiz Khalifa. I'm looking, and he stops the whole studio session and listening session. He stops it all and said, yo, you got to walk out. So I said, this nigga got to have a cigarette or something. And this nigga had a blunt. I said, oh, my God! I said, yo, Wiz, I got to talk to you. Listen, so what do you think about the joints versus the blunts?
Well, I'm one of the originators of the joint movement.
That's what Currency said on this show. That's what Currency said.
No, keep your motherfucking blunt in your pocket low, because Doggy Dog is all about the zigzag smoke.
So that's what, West that's Coast what Currency said. That's what Currency said. Yeah. Let's make some noise for Snoop Dogg.
I know my shit, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, when I was introduced to the blunt, first person to ever introduce me to a blunt was Bushwick Bill.
Mm,
wow. When he was working on the Chronic album.
My nigga, the midget. Yeah, let's make some noise for him. Goddamn.
That nigga is intelligent as a motherfucker. He's
right,
a stack
that's
of knowledge.
Nigga.
So he rolled up the blunt.
Smart as shit,
yeah, so he get us high with the blunt. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Mm. The next time was at the Poetic Justice rap party. Mm. Tupac rolled up a blunt.
Mm.
From them two niggas smoking blunts with me, then I began saying, man, I like the way that tastes. So then I started trying to roll a blunt. And then from there, it became overwhelming, because the zigzag, when I smoked the zigzag, I would get high fast as fuck. But when I would smoke a blunt, it was like slowly but surely, it became my cup of tea. I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? It's like from beer to hard liquor to whatever. Whatever your cup of tea is, when you find what your shit is, you roll with it. And it's
so we bought some Bombay. Are we out of line? Because we've been listening to your old shit. Are you telling us we've been listening to your old
juice?
Just tell us we old niggas.
We just don't have the juice.
No, you can tell us. You can say
Bombay real quick.
Uh-huh, okay.
We was on tour, right? This one, the nigga was a young nigga. So we only was fucking with Seagram's Gin or Tanqueray. Nigga, we walked up in the store, nigga, and we seen some Blue Gin. Nigga was like, cuh, they got some Crip Gin, cuh. So we bought this shit and started drinking it. I think it's like 99 proof or 100 proof. Well, how many proof is it?
I don't know. It's fucked
it's
up
something.
Proof.
How many proof?
Fucked up proof.
Say what it is.
47%.
Hell nah.
Oh, no, 94 proof.
You got
oh,
damn
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Knock it off. Knock it off. That thing was 94 proof.
Yeah, yeah.
We seen that, we was like, nigga, 94, we taking this to the head. We didn't mix it with
it
no
definitely
juice.
Is 94.
We was straight drinking Crip juice.
So that's
nigga.
Not gin and juice?
No, that's Bombay. That's Crip juice, nigga. We was drinking that shit. Great.
Now that you say that, right? You say Crip juice, right? Now, I'm gonna be honest. My first time being to LA, I color-coded everywhere I walked.
Mm.
Meaning, if I was on La Cienega, I dressed according to La Cienega.
Mm-hmm.
If I was on, you know, Roscoe's Pico, And I forget what was the other thing.
Pico and Fairfax.
Okay, yeah. If I was on there, I dress cold. The only time I never dressed cold is when I went to Long Beach.
Because you already knew.
It was a full city of Crips.
Real.
And y'all niggas wear whatever the fuck y'all want to wear. Let's make some noise for Long Beach.
But look, let me tell you how I met, this how I meet Nas. I'm on the corner, right? I'm in Gardena with my homeboys from Shotgun.
Now, when you say Gardena, you talking about Long Beach?
No, Gardena's a city outside of Long Beach where they got gangs over there, too.
Okay, so. I seen the hotel on there for $113.
Exactly.
It must be a bad neighborhood.
No, it's bad.
When I seen the hotel for $113, I'm not staying there.
No, it's bad. Continue. And it's like early 90s, too. It's like 93, 94. So I'm out there, you know what I'm saying, hanging with my homeboys from Shotgun. So it's just
Shotgun crib?
Yeah, it's a long street that we on. We all stand out there like 7-8 deep. So a white van pull up, cuz, and a white van, 15-passenger van, and the nigga jump out with an all-red sweatsuit with one leg of his sweatpants lifted all the way up with some boots on, and he running across the street where I'm at. And if you don't pay attention, it look like a nigga finna just come do a drive-by, but he really just coming... Right, and say what's up. So my niggas is like finna get they thing out. I'm like, hold on, cuz. That's the rapper from New York named Nas, cuz.
Now what year was this? What year was this?
This Snoop like 94.
Let's make some noise for Snoop.
And this the first time I meet cuz, so he run over to me. I shake his
hand. In Long Beach.
No, we in Gardena.
Oh, Gardena.
We in
right,
another
right.
nigga
that's
neighborhood. Right. But it's like if you riding down the street, you see one of your niggas that you seen on TV, and you're like, nigga, pull over, let me holler at Snoop Dogg. I know this nigga gonna say what's up. Not knowing you got on all red in a Crip neighborhood.
All the wrong
You know what I'm saying? You jump out a 15-passenger van. Nigga, it looked real suspicious. So when I shake his head, I'm like, check this out, cuz. Next time you ride through, here go my number. You got to call me first, man. You can't jump out.
Well, dress neutral,
bro. I'm not
gonna
lie.
Call me, man.
I'm not gonna lie. My first time going to L.A., I was taught the codes. You know what I'm saying? So I was taught. So like, cause see, you gotta realize, we had the LA, y'all had, well, y'all had the New York, New York first. Then we had the LA, LA, and we thought it was turmoil. Then these, the two greats died, and then we all pieced it out. But a lot of people didn't know we pieced it out. So we was, but at the same token, when I was coming to LA, I was already taught the color codes, or I was already in. I was hanging with Mac 10, so I knew when I go to Inglewood, it's a certain type of place. That's a certain type of place. When I go to, when I fuck with Corrupt and them, and I go by A Trey and them block, and you know what I mean? Like, I know, like.
But you know what, though? On top of all of that, what you talking about?
Right.
Yo, gangster, you and Capone and Mobb Deep, I'm going to give y'all four niggas that.
Let's make some noise for us.
For real. Y'all four niggas gangster was so gangster that one thing about the art of war, when you duel with somebody, you clash with somebody, it earns you respect.
That's right.
You
know,
through the battle, you learn how to respect enemy, and your enemy becomes your friend and your loved one because you know they'll go where you'll go.
And we realize we both on the same
and
side.
That's what it was
on the
all
side
about.
Of black power, goddammit. Make some noise. Side of black fucking power,
Chico.
My nigga. Listen, no, you black power too, motherfucker. Cubans is blacker than us, goddamn it.
Yeah, there's a lot of black Cubans.
Cubans is blacker
than
us.
B.
So, all right, but before we proceed any longer, because we know what you're doing, this is the first day of your tour. Let me tell you something, Snoop.
Oh, this is actually the first day of it?
Tomorrow's the first day.
I mean, this is the first stop?
Yeah, this is the first.
But listen, let's just be clear how much the big homies. He stopped his shit and he said, yo, I'm going to do it before the first tour. Because, see, let me just tell you something, Snoop. We don't like to interview people when they on a promo run because we bigger than
it's
that.
Fake.
Because
it's fake.
You know what
like
it is.
That. Nigga trying
this
to get
just,
some love, trying to be on the air
because
he pushing or promoting something. Nigga, we just doing this on the strength.
Right.
I'm overdue. I've been watching y'all do interviews with all of my homeboys. I'm like, well, when the fuck am I going to get money?
Yeah. Yo, cut that out.
Snoop, not only that, man, you know, you know what? I am not going to lie to you. We've been sitting here waiting in this room for you, and we had a whole Snoop Dogg playlist, and we all sat here, and we just listened to your hits, and we didn't care, because you know what, you know, I hate when people call you a West Coast legend, because you're bigger than that. You're just 100% of, I don't even know if this is a word, a superiority legend.
make it up.
Listen, and you know what, yo, let me tell you something. I said this on the podcast. I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I said, I have never seen Puff not once hate. Like, I seen him do fucked up shit, but I didn't see them hate. And Snoop, you are the only other person in this universe that I have never, ever, ever once see have a hating bone in your body. Let's make some noise for that, goddamn it. Tell you the first day I seen you, the first day I ever met you, right? All right, this is exactly how it happened. Boom. I said it with Corrupt is in here, and if you need another blunt, we got one roll for you. That's OG. You ain't fucking with our OG?
Man, like I'm gonna give you one.
It came from Humboldt Campbell. What is it? Humboldt County.
I'm gonna give you Humboldt. One. You give me one. Fair exchange. All right,
let's do it. Let's do it. So look, this is the first time I did LA, right? They did they did New York. We did LA. Oh, okay, you got one already, bro. Yeah, God damn it.
This stay ready. That's why you gotta get ready.
Yeah, okay. All right, let me leave this over here so I know. And then boom. Right? So then we fly to LA. It's the Source Awards weekend, right? So everybody gotta go back home. Now when they going back home, my record label hit me and say, yo, you got the number one album in the world. I said, yeah, this is the only place you're not doing good is LA. So I said, damn, I'm in LA at the time. So I'm like, damn. And they went to the top floor of the Mondrian's. Mm-hmm. The Mondrian's.
The Mondrian's. Right.
Talking about the CNN.
No,
Store.
This is the NRE album. Okay, this is 1998. Okay. This is when the shit is on fire.
Okay.
So he comes, and then they rent the hotel. They bring us like the champagne, the bitches, the sherbets, the champagne, and all this crazy shit. I'm in LA. I'm looking at the view. I'm like, all right, cool. And then they say you got to stay out here a couple more days. But everybody had got robbed. I'm talking about Martin Lawrence. When they robbed Martin Lawrence,
it's a problem already.
It's a problem. Like, this is the funniest
and
nigga in the
like
world.
That nigga. That's
the, yeah.
I was mad about that. When I was like, "Cuz, y'all got to get that back."
How you gonna rob Martin Lawrence?
I'm like, hold on, Martin, cuz, give me. I get that back. Hold on, cuz, give me a few days. I'm gonna figure this shit out.
But that's how fucked up it was.
It was
in LA at that time, and you know what happened was when I stayed them extra days. You know, I'm gonna call him my big homie Corrupt. You know what I'm saying? My big homie Daz, because they a couple of years older than me. I'm 38. I don't want to say what age they are. You know what I'm saying? Because that's my family. And they say, yo, because I was about to throw on. They said, "Cuz, you good?" And I'm like, you know, we this is, it wasn't called a Sprinter back then. Back in the days, it was called a limo bus.
Yeah.
So we had a limo bus. And Shaq even walked in our shit. And my niggas held me down from DPG. And I will never forget that ever again in my life. But then let me get back to the first day I ever met you. So the first day I ever met you, LALA comes out. I never seen none of you guys. We spoke. And then if we go to Power 96.
Power 106.
106. Mm-hmm. Where Big Boy was at. Yep. And they tell me, yo, Norm, you got to go upstairs by yourself. So I'm like, all right, cool. I got all my niggas downstairs. I'm like, all right, cool. I go upstairs by myself. It's Snoop. It's Daz. It's Corrupt. It's fucking Shug. It's everybody up there. I'm like, oh, shit. I walk in. Them niggas like, what's up, nigga? But I ain't going to lie to you, my nigga. My balls was in my little pinky toe. It was in my little pinky toe, but I acted tough, though. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, what up, nigga? Like, yeah, the nigga's like, what up, guys? I'm like, yo, I'm not gonna lie. Yo, and it was beautiful because my whole point of bringing up this whole story is I never, ever heard Snoop hate on a nigga.
Never.
Ever in your life.
Not even Suge Knight when he was trying to kill me.
You want to talk about that? Or
I mean, you know, we learn to live and forgive. You know, me and him got a great relationship now, so we good. Mm-hmm. We past that, and like I say, one thing about my life, you know, I know what I'm here for. I know what I'm called to do. And knowing that I'm a prophet, knowing that I speak the truth, knowing that I got so much to deliver, the devil gonna show up in many, you know, faces and facets, and he gonna always come from within. Because he could never get to me from the outside. He can only get in from the inside. So he's always gonna show you that face, and he's gonna give you that deception. But at the same time, it's my job to continue being me and to educate and elevate, and not to try to persecute when he down, or to kick him when he down, but to lift him up and to give him the spirit of love that he gave me when I didn't have a position to be a rapper, to be a voice, to be what I am. So I always took that in mind. And, you know, even when I was able to build my team up and be strong enough to where I could do something to him, I didn't want nothing to happen to him. You know what I'm saying? Because
I'm not going to lie.
No, but what was the worst time with Shook? During the No Limit time?
No, hell no, nigga, No Limit. Them niggas wasn't playing.
No, I'm saying that he wanted to get at you.
Oh, he didn't want none.
Nothing,
that
nothing with masculinity.
No way. Them niggas was really No Limit soldiers. He wanted action when I was in the blind, when I didn't have no help, when I didn't have no team.
Right.
And when he could stack a team, you know. And I'm telling this story because people need to know certain things about my life, what I went through and what I had to persevere, and how I stayed strong and stayed peace and didn't revert back to what gave me a murder case early in my career was, you know, foolishness as far as I was concerned. And being able to be blessed to get past that, I couldn't put myself in that position to do that again.
Right.
So make some noise for that, goddamn it. So, Snoop, we talked about you on tour right now. We talked about that, correct? No, we didn't get in depth in that. So tell us what's going on this tour right now. Let's get into that.
Wes is like my baby brother, so anytime you go on the road with somebody that loves
you. And you didn't see the footage where he kicked the nigga out for smoking a blunt. You didn't.
Nah, man, because me and him, we on that page. We used to do zags together.
We got to have a blunt conversation with him at some point. Me and
Intervention.
He used to smoke blunt. Oh, I can't wait
nigga,
to interview
me and
this
him
nigga
used
now.
To, we used go to smoke blunts together, nigga.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait to interview this nigga now.
But when he drew the line, you know, he was like, he ain't fucking with it no more. Him and 2 Chainz and about 50 other niggas.
So who you on tour with?
Just me, Wiz, Janae Aiko, Casey
Veggie. That's Booty Grat, like groceries, right?
And, yeah. And,
let's make some noise for the bitch that eat groceries. So, Snoop, you know, we a foul show. I don't know if you know.
Shout out to Kevin Gates, too. Kevin Gates on the phone.
Casey Veggie and Kevin Gates.
He got 2 phones.
So, Snoop, it's a foul question. It's a foul question, Snoop. But we have to ask everybody this, especially the legend.
Go ahead.
Do you eat ass, Snoop?
Never have, never will.
Oh, goddamn, Snoop's with me. Make some noise. Make some noise.
You don't even you. I could have sworn you said you did.
No, I said I'm willing to try. Listen, eat the booties like groceries has been fantastic. Like I've been thinking of it.
I don't know.
My wife was here, remember, when 50 was here. Like, listen, so you never ate the booty like groceries?
Nah, man. Nah. Like, I'm very pleasurable in the bedroom to my wife, you know what I'm saying, to where I need to be. But as far as like being like over, you know, extraordinarily freaky, I have limits, you know what I'm saying? Do's and don'ts, you know what I'm saying? Because the holy rod do his job, so I don't have to do all of that.
I don't know what he just said, but it was buttery.
That was that pimp.
So listen, Snoop, my man, you see my man. I'm not going to the story. I'm so much of it. Do you want me to?
No.
I think we have to, just because you brought it up. But first off, Snoop, listen, you see my man, Beard. You see his beard. Do you dye?
My hair? Do I dye my hair?
Yeah.
Nah, my shit silver as a motherfucker up top. Hold on, let me show you.
Oh, okay. Look, you gonna make him feel mad comfortable. Let's make some noise for EFN. Having somebody else in this game.
Yeah. My shit silver as a motherfucker.
Okay, Snoop. I'm sorry, because he brought it up. It's only because he brought it up.
Niggas, my hair stylist be wanting me to wear it just for men or some shit. I'm like, I don't fuck with that shit. I ain't finna be painting my shit no different colors.
Okay, Snoop. This is a story we ran on this podcast way too much. But it's fucked
this
up.
This is the last time we tell the story.
This is the last time we tell the story. All right. This is my friend.
Yo,
right?
This is the last time we tell the story.
All right. Yo, you very serious right now. Calm down. Snoop, this is the last time we tell the story. All right. Listen. And then I'm going to smoke your blunt you gave me. Listen, Snoop. Okay. This is my friend. This is one of my closest friends, right? He doesn't think he's petty. I'm petty as a motherfucker, Snoop, right? You've been getting money since 92.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting money since 97. Mm. You're way richer than me. God damn it. Make some noise for you being richer than me. But this is my friend, right? He doesn't think he's petty. Okay. His girl.
Ex-girl.
Went to the Cisco video, right? Okay.
That thong, the thong, thong, thong.
Alright, listen. I want you to ask, because look, 50 already agreed with me, right? But I want to see if you agree with me. He doesn't think he's petty. I said that he's petty, alright? His girl went to the thong, the thong song video.
She didn't go to it. She was a part
She was
of
going
it.
To the thong song
she
video.
She was one of the video
And
chicks.
She asked him. She said, she told him, I'm going to the thong.
You,
and he
you making
cut
up
off.
A story that you want
no,
to make
No, I'm sorry,
right
Snoop. I'm playing with the facts, okay?
Drunk facts.
So,
drunk facts.
He found out his girl was going to the Cisco video, and he cut her off. Was he petty or was he right?
That's petty, dog.
Let's make some noise, David.
He told the wrong story, though. He told the wrong story.
Now you want me to tell you the other videos she went to?
Which one?
Everybody fuck with me. Come on, come on, come over here. She also went to the Big Pimpin'. Okay, one more video, Sue. Uchiwala. Okay, and now... During all this process, he texted me the other day, and he said, she also went to, come on, your video, Nori. But he cut her off early at Cisco. He did make the right decision, Snoop.
He did, because she, as you can see, her track record proved that she was moving her way up to a Snoop Dogg video.
Yeah.
She was in a Snoop Dogg video.
And if she would have made it to a Snoop Dogg video, they would have got dick down. Let's just keep it real.
Yeah, because behind door number one, there's one dick. And behind door number two,
exactly.
There's two dicks.
Exactly. I already knew it was going down. I was out of there.
Let's make some noise for EFN not caring about
EFN. Because see, one thing about a player, right, which was told to me a long time ago, is not about how hard or how tough your heart is, because your heart can be broken. When you're a player, you got to have a stomach for this shit. Because you'll be able to endure anything if you got a tough stomach. So make sure you tighten up on your stomach and give a fuck about your heart.
Yeah. So let's just break that down, because one of the last times I seen you was in Bishop Don Juan crib. You want me to remind you of the
nigga,
time?
Was it
the man show?
Yeah,
we was doing the man show.
Nigga, with Jimmy Kimmel and them.
Yes, and I came this before Jimmy Kimmel was Jimmy Kimmel.
He was a little nigga back then.
Yeah, he was a little
Adam
nigga.
Adam Carolla was the big nigga.
Yeah. Wow.
He was the nigga in the passenger seat. He was the passenger seat nigga back then.
He was still dating homegirl Silverman?
Nah, he didn't even know the bitch then.
He
was nothing, man.
Wow. And what happened was, I went to see Snoop. It was some crazy shit in New York, and then we went, and I went to LA, and he said, yo, come to Bishop crib. And Bishop had already gave me a Famous Player card. I'm not gonna lie, from the story of your girl, I can tell you never got a Famous Player card. My friend, I love you, man. Come on, let me. But it's a Famous Player card. It's a gold card.
With a serial number that's identified to you and you only.
Yeah, to you and you only. And I had that. And let's make some noise for me having to play a card. And the last time I see you, we was in Bishop Don Juan crib. So you invited me, and I'm not gonna lie. That's the only time, because see, I'm a rosé guy. And that's the only time Bishop Don Juan. He has so much champagne.
Moet.
Oh my God.
The king of Moet. He was buying them $30 a case. That's when we had the little homie that was getting that hookup.
And I'm gonna be honest. That's the only time I thought in my mind I smoked you out, because you quit at one point. You don't remember? You chilled. Okay, let's make some noise. I did win. He beat me in New York and then beat him in LA.
It was a 20-second timeout.
Yeah, because I ain't gonna lie. Snoop was looking at me like, cuz, you don't have to buy no more. And I bought every weed. Every nigga that had weed in there, and it was doing a show called The Man Show. It was The Man Show.
That's what it was.
The Man Show.
Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I was there, my mother.
Hey, yo, Nori, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time.
Headache.
It's always been hard to find the best deals for the game or show you want to go to, and none of these older ticket sites want to change none, but SeatGeek is different.
They've came a long way and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier for the fans to buy and sell tickets. It's the first place I go to when I want to see my amazing polygraph friends. You feel that? It goes straight to SeatGeek, and they be doing it up like, well, how they supposed to do it up and all
that. Didn't you use it for the Snoop concert?
I used it for the Snoop concert. I used it for the Amber Rose talk show, and I used it for Jenny Jones. And you know what I mean? When they was popping back then.
Hey, yo, SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you, searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. You immediately see the underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals to fit your budget.
And, you know, to our listeners, they're giving away a $20 rebate. And you know what is it? We got a promo code,
yeah,
right?
The Drink Champs Army, if you download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo, enter promo code Drink Champs. That's DRINKCHAMPS. In case you're buzzed right now, SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase.
And you can take that $20 and get more of a buzz. Let's make some noise for that.
Make some noise.
SeatGeek.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're back to Drink Champs Radio with rapper N-O-R-E and DJ EFN.
Let's just take it back. Your first album. I'm going to be honest. We loved NWA so much. In the East Coast. Now, I'm going to speak from a New York perspective.
That's
and
right.
The EFN, I would love for you to speak from a Miami perspective. But we loved NWA so much. And then when the Fuck the Police had came out and this shit was happening. And then remember, the first cop ever killed was in Queens with Fat Cat and Pappy Mason. The parole officer. The first cop that ever got killed was in Queens. Contrary to popular belief, whatever be, and then Fuck the Police came out, and I'm gonna just speak for me. For me, when I first time I heard first time I heard Straight Out of Compton, I was scared of Compton because I thought Compton was a jail. Because remember, the last time I heard something was Rikers Island,
right?
And it symbolized Rikers Island from Cool G Rap. So when I heard Straight Out of Compton, I thought these niggas was talking about jail. Right? This is real shit. This is my own personal life. I'm not speaking for the East Coast. I'm speaking for me. And then we got to realize what NWA was. And NWA, and we realized gangbanging. We realized this was something totally different. And then it disappeared for quite some time. And then all of a sudden, it's this record called Deep Cover.
Classic.
How did, I don't know, just take it from there for me. This is the blunt you roll for me because I'm smoking.
Yes, sir. Well, Deep Cover was, it was a situation where we was in the studio.
But you remember the time period I'm talking about, where NWA, and then you just burst out of nowhere, and I wanted you to take it from there. I apologize. I don't want to cut you off. They'd be killing me for this.
It wasn't like nowhere. It was like I was on the sideline watching NWA, getting ready, getting my shit together.
Now, before I let you go, now, in the movie, it was like you just walked in the crib and Deep Cover was playing. Was that like, did that happen in real life? You just walked in the crib and Deep Cover beat
studio,
was playing?
In the studio.
In the movie, that's how it was predicted.
Well, some of the movie was, you know.
Of course.
Made to be a movie. But
we want to know the real life.
Actuality, you know, it was a scenario when we were staying with Dre at his house, the same little house that you seen in NWA where, you know, where the G-Thing scene was, where he didn't have no furniture. It was just a studio. And one morning, he was on his way to go work out. And before he left, he was like, he put this beat up, and he was like, I need you to write something to it. Suge gonna call you and tell you what it's about. So when he leaves, Suge called me about an hour later, and he like, doggy dog, I got these people on the phone from Sony. It's a movie called Deep Cover. It's about an undercover police officer. I need you to freestyle for about, you know, 25, 30 seconds, and then I want you to, you know, cut it off like you're cutting it down, and I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to call you back. I'm like, all right, cool. So he called me back. I put the beat on. He like, I got him on the phone. Let him hear. So I start busting a little bit, busting a little bit, busting a little bit. And I turn it down. Like, he like, all right, we're going to call y'all back. Boom, he called me back. He like, nigga, write the song. It's about an undercover police officer. It's called Deep Cover. Ooh. Cool. So I write the whole song. Dre come back. He listened to it. He like, I don't really like it. I'm like, nigga, well, fuck it. So he ended up saying this shit. This nigga don't like it. He hates the record.
Right.
So he lay it down. We do our shit. He put his little twist on it. Couple of weeks later, nigga tell me, yeah, we gonna do a photo shoot. Come pick up a couple $100. So they give me like $200-$300. I go to the swap meet by White Sox hat.
Now, was this swap meet on Slauson and Crenshaw?
No, I went to Compton swap meet.
Okay.
I didn't fuck with that one. I'm from Long Beach. Compton was closer.
Okay.
So I went to the Compton swap meet and bought the outfit that I had on, thinking it was going to be a photo shoot. Then when I get there, niggas is like...
It's a video.
Yeah, niggas like, okay. And the first scene is, I'm like, scene.
And the last time you spoke to him, he said he hated it.
He hate the record to this day.
Oh, my God. Stop. Don't give us that.
We only performed that record probably 10 times my whole life.
Wow. I got to see it one time.
Get the fuck out of here. I've never beefed that.
He don't like that record. Like, that's not one of his... And he don't understand that record, like you said, that's the birth of the rebirth.
Because me, as a child in New York, that was our shit. Like, we kind of, in my era, we kind of related to N.W.A. more than what African Bambaataa and X-Clan was doing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of identify with L.A. music of the N.W.A.'s more. Me, I'm just saying me. I can't claim the East Coast right now. I got to claim me.
Mm-hmm.
And then that attention was voided. But then out the blue comes this Deep Cover record.
Because that was big on the East Coast, Deep Cover. It's huge.
Listen, I'm telling you, I know it's bigger in New York than it was in L.A.
Yeah, it wasn't really that big in L.A.
Yeah,
listen, I'm telling you, to this day, there's 17,000 remakes of Deep Cover in New York right now.
I believe you.
Like, I'm telling you, that record was...
See, that's the first record that I was ever on. So you got to understand, when it started getting big... You know, people was telling me, man, that record. And that's when Yo MTV Raps, motherfucking Fab Five Freddy. Mm. And then they had Drake, Ed Lover, and Dr. Dre.
Yep.
And nigga, when we made the motherfucking countdown, nigga, that's when I knew it was popping. Because if you get on the countdown.
The countdown was different.
On
Break
shit,
down the cap, bro.
Man, knock it off. If you get on the countdown over there on the East, because it wasn't nothing but Dies Effect videos, EPMD. It was all heat. Nigga, legends. There wasn't no new booties. Wasn't popping back then.
So when the deep cover record actually hit, did you know you was about to be a star, or that wasn't the moment yet? When was the moment that you knew, like, nigga, I made the? Because in the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just knock this out, because I'm gonna be honest. When I looked at it in the movie, and I looked when you walked in, and Suge Knight jumped up and was like, "Yo, tell this nigga get out of here," and you was like, "Nah, I like the beat." Cause I said, "That's fake. That's not Snoop." Because I know you.
That wasn't fake the way we met, though.
So he told you to leave the studio immediately.
Nah, the first time we made contact was Tension.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Cause it was like, you know, I'm. Cause he blood, so
right. Sure, right. So you walked in the studio. Let's break this down.
Me and Warren G. Warren G. brought me. That was Warren G. in the
213.
Okay, that was Warren G. Okay,
yeah, so Warren G. brings me into the studio, and he right here. He don't know who I am, and I'm talking the way I'm talking.
Right.
And he say something about the way I'm talking, and I'm like, "Well, nigga, who was you?" And
right.
He like, "Well, hold on." And it's like Dre, like, "Wait a minute." He like, "Nigga, he here to do music," and then they put the music on, and then when the music come on, the nigga start busting. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. I'm the company. This the artist. Let me go ahead and get a relationship. I like this nigga because he got hard. I like this nigga because this nigga hard. Right. So it was like, steel sharpens steel. Nigga, it wasn't no busters, wasn't no punks, wasn't no weenies, no bowing down, or none of that shit.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie. That shit just made my day just now. Make some noise. When I seen it, I said, damn. But you know what? You're talking about the beginning of your career.
Yeah. Nigga didn't have nothing to lose.
Wow.
I'm trying to get in where I fit in. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I wasn't trying to be extra'd out, but at the same time, I'm trying to get in while I'm fitting. I'm here to do some rapping. Nigga, don't try to check me, nigga. When I'm here to, I'm asked to be here.
Right.
A nigga want me to be here.
So the first record y'all ever worked on was The Chronic.
The first song we ever worked on was G-Thang.
Ain't nothing
before
G-Thang, baby.
He gave me the beat. It's a beat to go. Doom, doom, doom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Classic sound.
Woo! That beat. And I took it to my house. I didn't even have a house. I was staying with my cousin on 10th and Lime. Me, Daz, and about seven of her kids.
Right.
So I wrote that motherfucker on 10th and Lime. Took it back to the studio. He liked it. Ended up going to jail for 3 months. Had to wait. Then when I got out, recorded it. Recorded that song. Then the deep cover situation happened.
Okay, hold on. You went to jail for 3 months. That means you was petty. We need to know what petty shit you did to go to jail for 3 months.
All right, look. I was on probation, right?
Okay.
Joint suspension probation.
Wait, you was already on probation.
I was already on joint suspension probation.
Okay, what petty shit you did to get on probation?
I was selling cocaine. And
okay, all right.
I was a recovering.
Now let's fast forward back.
I was a recovering drug dealer. Okay.
God damn it. It makes some noises, let's pick up the Best Buy Liquors, man. You know what I'm saying? For holding us down.
You know what I mean? I'm getting lit. You niggas got me drinking and all.
Oh, man. Yo, Snoop, man, it's no way we can repay you. I also want to big up my boy Pharmacist, man. You know what I mean? He got the plug at the Tetra Hydro Club. But go ahead, Snoop, please finish that story, please. That
what was we great. Talking about? I'm so fucked up.
Yeah, me too.
I just got... Oh, no, why he was petty for going to jail for three
okay,
months.
Okay, yeah.
3 months.
Recovering ex-drug dealer.
Yeah. Right.
So, now this time... I'm on probation, right? So I'm working with Dr. Dre. My probation officer know what's happening, but he don't know what's happening.
Okay,
because
so
ain't nothing
out.
Came out.
So time out. You was working with Dr. Dre on parole. Let's make some noise for him.
Yeah.
That wasn't petty.
And this is when
that was real.
No, this is when Dre was leaving Ruthless Records,
all right.
Trying to figure out what he was gonna do.
Okay, yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So it's that stage right there. So now I'm fucking with Dre and doing my thing with him, writing behind the scenes, trying to create whatever we're gonna create. We ain't even called Death Row Records, we call Future Shock Records right now. So
and now this I got after Aftermath?
No, this is before.
No, way before
this
Aftermath.
This
yeah.
after Ruthless.
After Ruthless.
This
Records,
when he leaves Ruthless before y'all hear about the conflict with him and EZ. This is when they trying to figure out how he gonna leave.
He ain't even left yet.
Right.
He trying to figure out how the fuck he gonna leave.
Right.
So now I'm on probation. So now I got a toothache. So I ain't got no money to go to the dentist. So my auntie, she the pill lady. So she give me codeine and some other shit.
Hold on, talking about the pill lady?
Yeah.
She got everything.
Everything. All right,
good to you.
All right,
good to you.
Birth control, BD pills, everything.
She got birth control and tooth pills. That's what's up.
Leukemia, everything.
Man, she cured your leukemia.
You hear me? She got everything, man. Believe it. So she give me this, she give me a couple things. I take them right, I'm good. I'm like, woo woo. So I go pee in the bottle, not knowing that I'm finna test dirty because these are prescribed drugs that have not been prescribed to me.
Wow.
So when I give my test back, the probation officer like, you know, Mr. Broadus, you got a dirty test. I know you ain't doing no cocaine because it ain't cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm a drug offender as to register as a drug offender now. You can't be around none of that shit. So he says... It says that you have codeine. What happened? I said, man, I had a toothache. He like, well, I'm going to take you to the judge and see what the judge say. The judge was like, you violated 3 months.
Wow.
And off I go in the middle of getting my career started and hoping that Dre don't be like, fuck it, this nigga going to jail. I ain't fucking with this nigga, but he held on.
So he wasn't petty at all. I apologize for making noise for that. I apologize.
Man, you retracted a petty comment?
I retracted my petty. You know I love being petty. So now let's take it to that first album. Okay.
Okay.
So the Chronic album happens.
Mm-hmm.
How much did the Chronic sell?
Shit, about 5 to 6 million. Something like that.
You're already on tour.
No, that's the thing. We didn't go. We did a 7-day tour for the Chronic. Run DMC, Ghetto Boys, and Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
That sounds crazy.
And that motherfucker lasted 7 days because on the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me all the Bloods and the Crips that we had with us. They niggas. No, we was cool, nigga. We was on the road together, but right. The niggas at every city we ran into, it was a problem because it was like you can't take all these rough, tough Bloods and Crips together. We can't fight each other, but nigga, we finna fuck y'all up. And it was like afterwards we'd be in the hotels and shit, nigga. The hoes would come, a couple niggas come, and it just go all bad. And by the seventh day, nigga, we was in my room chilling. I had a couple of females in there, and then Suge knocked on my door. Boom, 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 boom. Put the TV on channel 4. I put it on channel 4, and nigga, the news was outside, nigga. With the police and everything. Yeah, we're about to come in here and get these niggas out of here right now. We got them surrounded. And that nigga Shook. That's why I love his gangster head. Because that nigga found a way to get me, him, and Dr. Dre out of that motherfucker. We ran through a back window, ran across the freeway. Nigga got us a motherfucking rental car, drove to the next state, got a private plane, and flew the fuck up out of there. Yeah, G shit. That nigga Suge Knight was a cold gangster.
Yo, Ron. Can I get a 5, Ron? God damn it, Ron. Can I shout you out? Come on. Come on, Ron. Listen, we got a million people listening. I'm lying. We only got like 4 people listening. Shot, come on.
4.5.
Big
Ron. 4.5 people.
You know what I'm saying? Ted Chung, everybody. But Ron, shout your people out, man. Just shout yourself out, man. Yo, come
shout
on.
Out to me, Ron Alvarez.
Ron Alvarez. Yo, listen, let me tell you something. You know why I had to do that mid-interview? Because people don't get close to the dog, man. You know, we are so honored at the Drink Champs because he let me just tell you something. He hit me and was like, nigga, he like, nigga, you ain't inviting me yet, cuz. I was like, yo, you know, it's Snoop Dogg. Like sometimes he forget that he's Snoop Dogg. So when he hit me with that message, I was like, holy, I think I screenshotted this shit and sent it to you. Let's make some noise for Snoop. Let's make some noise for Snoop, goddammit. So you did the Chronic tour, which was 7 days, you said.
Yep, then it stopped. It was over with 7 days later.
So how was this approach? Because the Chronic sold how much? I forget.
Like maybe 6 million.
I was about to say 7. So 6. Mm-hmm. It sold 6 million. So now, and how old are you at this time?
1992, I am 20 years old.
Now, how the fuck do they tell you get in the studio? Because you fuck, at this point, you fucking everything. I don't give a fuck. I was 20 years old with a platinum record. Let's make some noise for you fucking everything. So how did they get you in the studio to make this classic first album?
That is crazy.
Because 20 years old, I don't give a fuck. And when you black, 20 is 30, right? Right. When you black, right? Yeah. And you from the hood. But when you black and got money, still 20 is 15.
Yeah, but remember, I didn't have money. This is being 20 with no money.
But you're coming off the Chronic album. You had
still didn't have no money. That was Dr.
What?
Dre's album.
Wow.
That wasn't my record. Remember, I was work for hire. I was the pen. Oh. You know, the pen behind the scene, which enabled me. This is where I think the blessing fell like it fell. When we was creating Death Row Records, we didn't have no roster on who was coming out, what was going next, and what was in order. It was pecking order. We put ourselves in position, meaning that once Dre album was being worked on, whoever was the dopest, the hardest, the one that people wanted to see and hear next was going to position himself to get a solo deal. And that's what I was pushing for. I wasn't ever doing nothing but that. That's why I wrote the best material for him. I gave him the best shit. I didn't go in there half-hearted. I went in there wholehearted and gave him the best of me. So when it was time for me to do my record, he gave me the best of him. Mm-hmm. And then next after that was the Dog Pound, because Corrupt and Daz was pushing the hardest on my record. So it was like everybody was pushing, and we was pushing each other to where the blueprint was laying out as we went. It was never written in stone, Dre, Snoop, Murder Was the Case, Dog Pound. It was like, you know what? Dre album. We're going to figure everything else once we get past
that
this.
That was the first.
Yeah, and once what happened was I was so hungry.
Because I'm totally sorry to cut you off, but y'all was all on that album. But yeah, you was the chosen one.
I wasn't the chosen one. I was the one that worked the hardest.
For it. Yeah.
Like, didn't nobody choose
me. So y'all
me.
All came when you say Warren G brought you out to the studio because Warren G was Drake's
Warren G
half
was
brother.
The plug. Mm. He was the plug. Mm. Warren G was the plug with connecting us. He was the plug with some of them samples on the Chronic album. He was the plug with the skits and like he was the plug. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was really active. That's why he was able to put a solo record out without Dr. Incredible. Dre, without Def Row, to save Def Jam Records.
Right.
Let's not get
platinum.
That part fucked up.
Anywhere platinum.
To save Def Jam Records and get Russell them a whole new check again and put them back in the game because the rap game wasn't favorable for Def Jam at that time. Def Row swallowed everything up, and Warren G was like a plug into the Def Row system without dealing with Suge Knight.
Right.
Mm. You get what I'm saying? Mm. And that's real business right there, and Russell can identify with that, and it's proven that that was a move that put Def Jam back in play to give niggas deals again and for niggas to eat again because they were back as considered being hot because they had Warren G, a 3-4 million record seller on his own without them
regulators.
Niggas, basically, great. Without us, but with us. Because we was just behind the scenes, we just wasn't visible.
So now, Long Beach, right? His first album.
Mm-hmm.
This first album, I heard that you said, after the Chronic, first I heard that you said, in the Chronic, y'all all stayed in the same house. And,
yeah.
And then, now going to this first album.
First album, I got an apartment in Hollywood, one bedroom. We call it the Dog Pound, $500 a month for rent. I'm barely paying rent.
You talking about in Hollywood?
In Hollywood.
Yeah, where's this place out? I need this shit right now.
Like that.
$500 a month. It's on the corner of Whitley and Franklin, right on the corner.
Is it still available?
It's still available.
We need an office
right
now.
We need that right now.
Right now, right now, right now. And then we're going to tell them, listen, nigga, we're going to be the next Snoop Dogg.
Still available.
But we can't, we're twin at. And Mr. Lee, we're going to say this, it's y'all too. Y'all the new artist. Because me and this nigga, we look too old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about shit.
But go ahead, just listen, because that first album, because I just want to, now I'm going to represent for the whole New York.
Mm-hmm.
All these other moments I didn't, and I would like you to represent for Miami.
For sure.
But when you dropped that first album, everybody related to you. And you was, I don't think you had initially tried to identify with every ghetto in America, but you identified with your ghetto. And what happened was, it identified with everybody across the globe.
Mm.
So I want you to take us to that first album.
First album was heavy, man, because me and Dr. Dre was together every day. Like, we would really ride together.
Mm-hmm.
We would be in the vehicle. He had a Benz back then.
Mm-hmm.
He would pick me up. We would roll together. We would stay the night together. Mm-hmm. We was doing all kind of fly shit. Like, it would be two girls, right? I'll give you one scenario. Just because we personal like that.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's
nobody's
do it.
Listening.
And
they didn't put this in the movie, so I was like, all right, I'll put it in my
movie. This is your movie right now.
I'll put it in my movie.
Okay.
So we, for example, we had two girls, right? And these two bitches stayed together.
Mm.
So, but they stayed far, though. Mm. So I didn't have no car, so we'd go see them together, right? And all while we riding to go see them, I got a cassette on playing the Dramatics, Marvin Gaye, funk, all kind of old shit. So when we get there, he go on his side of the room, I go on my side. We meet back up like 6 in the morning in the living room. Boom, jump back in the car and ride back to the studio and make a record. That's how Doggy Style was created for like 4 or 5 of the records. Some of them records was created based off of a night that we had, you know, later on that day. My nigga Dr. Dre came through with a gang of Tango Ray. You know, some of that shit was really happening.
Exactly what happened. Yeah.
And it was like, it was translated into the music. And then some of the records that we made on Doggy Style was just the song G's and Hustlers. He said, go in there and mic check. I mic check, and what I mic check is what you hear on the album. It's a whole one take freestyle. No going back, no doubles, just whatever the fuck came out. When I was done with it, I was like, all right, let me write it. He was like, nigga, you ain't writing shit. That motherfucker's dope.
What?
I'm like, for real? He's like, yeah. Played it back for me, let me hear it. I was like, fuck it. Came out just like that. Same with the Shiznit. So these are two records that I didn't even write. I just went in there and just mic check, 1, 2.
And to this day, you don't write?
Hopping like a rabbit. Oh, I do write, but some of the songs that I have done have just came spontaneous. And that's just how the fuck they go. It's just, it is what it is.
Like one of the craziest records on mixtapes, because that's my claim to fame, mixtape DJ.
Go ahead, AFN.
Doggy Style Remix. I love that record. When I was a mixtape, I was like, I needed to hunt the record down. I got it. Put it on my mixtape. I was the craziest in Miami with my shit.
The Doggy Style Remix.
Yeah, that motherfucker never came out.
Love that shit.
Because I don't remember it neither.
Love that shit.
Come on, break it down. Yeah,
nah, I mean, it's a remix, and it's just, it's totally different from the original.
It is. That shit hard as fuck.
The record is crazy.
You know, he the only nigga that will remember that, Snoop. Because, listen, you know, he brought KRS-One. KRS-One. Here we go.
This fucking guy.
He brought KRS-One, a bracelet from Jesus. Totally. It wasn't a bracelet. In 1431.
BC? Was it BC or AD?
Yeah. AD. Listen, he remembers everything, Snoop. So that first album, okay, you go in the studio, because now Death Row was the shit, right?
Yeah, we popping now. We lightweight popping. The Chronic got us lightweight popping, because one thing's for sure and two things for certain, the East Coast wasn't really, like, fucking with West Coast entirely until... Mm-hmm. My record came out.
Like, no, they was. You're entirely true. Let's make some noise for him. Got
right?
No, because you know why? We understood NWA, but then there was people in between y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
Let's not forget, the East Coast might be misrepresented, because as their East Coast as New York, and then down south Miami, we East Coast too.
But one thing about the West Coast, the East Coast to us has always been New York. That's right. The Mecca.
Right.
Like,
right.
Looked for them for approval. Right. If they don't give you the stamp of approval, if you can't get on High 97 and Flex don't which jump
a
bomb.
Which was the problem
if
for a while.
Angie Martinez don't give you an interview. Ed Love and Dr. Dre, Fab Five Freddy don't say what's happening to you.
Right.
If certain shit they got to happen, you understand 100%. Me? Or you ain't official like a referee with a whistle.
And we felt like that from the South too. The South.
Right. Oh, y'all did.
Y'all was considered the East and y'all ain't even know it.
Nah, we couldn't get it. New York was the
Mecca. No, but the West Coast is considered the East. Yeah. Snoop just said it. Leave him alone.
Nah, he didn't say that. He did not say that. He did not.
Let me get away with it. So, look. So, okay. This album comes out. You work on your first album.
Yeah.
The Source Awards happen.
I'm
going to be honest. I was in jail when the Source Awards came out. But I have to big you up, because one day I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go to the stage. The promoter say, "We don't got the rest of your money." So I was like, "All right, cool. So I'm going to leave." I leave. The promoter gets on the show and says, "Nori don't fuck with y'all." He said, "Y'all don't have enough money for him to perform." And he throws down the mic. So I was going outside anyway. All the crowd come and they brush my car. So I get out the car and I'm like, "Y'all niggas got love for Nori?" And everybody was like, "Oh, nobody can do it, but I got that from you." But that moment,
let's go.
That moment in East Coast history, because we loved you. And
that's why y'all didn't kill nobody.
Just
keep it 100. We gonna keep it 100. Mm-hmm. Everybody always asks me about that scenario, that situation. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of lives could have been taken if that strategic play wasn't played.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because it was a gangster, speaking of gangsters, getting the respect and the mutual respect of, you know, let us get up out of here safely because we understand the dynamics of what's going on and what's taking place. But let's not, you know, have some casualties of some unnecessary motherfuckers that don't need to be. And that's what it was. In the art of war, anytime, you know, countries go to war, they always have a conversation. It's always two leaders or two motherfuckers that's gonna chop it up before they actually push the button and do their thing.
Right.
And they never just drop the bomb like he was shooting.
Let's keep it real. You knew East Coast had love for you.
I did.
You knew it.
But
your confidence in which you said it, you was like, "Y'all ain't got no love." I was in jail. Like, that nigga know what he talking about.
Nah,
listen, this is real shit.
At that moment.
I'm listening. Because at the end of the day, he was West Coast Mobb Deep. He could have rolled out with the Bloods. He could have rolled out with Snoop. But you got to realize in which the man did it. He came out by himself. He did have a Yaka to me.
Yeah.
But he did have a Yaka to me.
Because I didn't know what the next move was.
Because you know what? Listen, it's just like what I did. I knew some of the most records I ever sold is in this area.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. Like, I mean, honestly, like, you had to say to yourself, there's no way, like, everybody here bought my record.
Yeah.
You had to sell 800,000 at least just in New York.
Man, they love me, man.
And they loved you. That's
and
a fact.
And I felt that. Like, the first time I felt the New York love, I did a show called The Rosie Perez Show.
Mm.
And that motherfucker, it was EPMD, and it was Pete Rock and CL Smooth, cuz.
Wow.
And I swear to God, I was so infatuated with the fact that I was actually performing with them niggas. And I even put some boots on, nigga. I don't even wear no fucking boots. I was like, nigga, I'm gonna dress like these niggas, nigga, and come out here and fuck it up. And when I finished doing my shit, them niggas came in my trailer, nigga, and we smoked and we chopped it up. And that's when I really said, you know what? New York, fuck with us.
Nah.
Because these niggas came in the trailer and they talking to us.
We loved you. And that's why I was glad. Like, at that moment, like I said, I was in jail, but at that moment, I was so glad at your stance because you wasn't speaking for a West Coast nigga. You was speaking for an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, if you love me, you love me. That's like, yo, if I fucking perform in a KKK rally,
mm-hmm.
nigga, if you fucking my music, just let me leave about this motherfucker. Look, you fucking my shit, I'm gonna perform and let me get the fuck up out of here.
Yeah, let me walk.
You know what I'm saying? But Snoop, man, you know, your history is so historic. Your history is so impeccable, in my opinion. It's like, you know, continuously, you have made yourself relevant. You just dropped a new album.
Yeah, Kool-Aid.
Let's get into that new album. Now it's Kool-Aid, and it's purposely spelled with a C.
Yeah, cuz.
All
right. Of course. Have we learned anything here?
Let's break that down. What's going on with this new album?
Well, this new album is just me finding my way back home again, you know, getting back on my gangster shit, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I went to Jamaica and I found a beautiful spirit within myself that I needed to find.
I did reggaeton, you did Jamaican. Let's do it. Now give me a high five. With the left. With the left. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was, you know what? As a kid, I grew up loving reggae music and
This is your blood.
I wanted to know why I loved it, right? So when I went to Jamaica, I was taken to the Naibingi Temple and I was given the instructions and information on what I was and who I was, and I tuned in and tapped into what I was.
Right.
Some history that America never gave me.
But you did bring your own weed.
Oh, I had to do that.
Cause you heard that Jamaica had dirt. Let's keep it real. I did too.
They weed wasn't dirt. It just was from the ground. It was organic and it had no chemicals.
I was gonna say you
like
know
the
what?
Weed nowadays
you have to
is
go
so
to,
spray.
Tivoli Gardens.
I went there
to get. I don't know. But then I had to stop myself.
With a president, nigga. With
because
a president.
Because you went,
Dudas.
Yo, listen.
I went
Dudas,
to Dudas neighborhood.
Nigga,
I went to his neighborhood.
Yo, listen, yo, nigga. Homie. Yo, no. Listen, Dudas, listen. I was about to say, Dudas. I'm watching Snoop shit, and I'm like, damn, I did that. I did everything this nigga did. But I said, yo, this nigga ain't go to Tivoli Gardens. The next scene, this nigga went to Tivoli Gardens.
I'm in there, nigga.
Like,
they took me to the gutter,
yeah,
nigga.
And you had your own weed.
The nigga said,
you hit
that
shit, and then you
usually
said,
nighttime, man, you need to go home.
Right.
I said, fuck that, I'm showing up at nighttime,
yeah,
nigga.
Yeah, that's right.
I pull
that's
up
right.
at the night,
and you
nigga.
Damn sure
there was
did.
Some uncomfortable parts that it looked like.
Man,
it was,
come on, yeah. man. It was because, right. see, you got to understand, when you right. real and you expose yeah. yourself,
right.
when you put yourself in the people's face with no right. security, you got to deal with them. And a lot of times, motherfuckers don't be mad. They just be frustrated and they be venting. So if I see
they
want to
take it out on you.
Nigga, right. one of the niggas, he loved me so much.
Right.
He loved Tupac so much.
Right.
And he just didn't know how to express himself.
Right.
And he was trying to get me to come to his barbershop, but he didn't understand, I'm not here to see you.
Right.
I'm here to see Dudas and them, cuz. So
right.
all due respect,
right.
I'm going to check you before they do, because if they
right.
check you, you ain't going to live.
Right.
So I checked right. him for right. them, because uh-huh. the way they was going to check him, it was going to be an unpleasant check-in.
Right, right, right.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, if you got guests at your house and somebody show out when you got guests, how you going to do him?
Exactly.
You going to walk him in the back of the tool shed and give him some real good, you understand me? Some
So you both brought up Tupac, and Tupac, I don't even want to ask you the first time you met Tupac. I want to ask you Tupac on death row.
Hey, yo, Haz, stop that right there. We can't give them no more. Woo! We gotta, sure? They got to wait for another week.
Woo! You sure about that?
I'm 100% sure. That's it. No more.
Throw some water on this computer.
All right, all right.
Listen, man, stay tuned for next week. We got Snoop D-O-double-G.
Part two.
And in between the week, we're going to hit y'all with some random episodes.
Bonus joints.
With some real legends.
Drink champ
shit. Stay motherfucking tuned.
We getting drunk.
Huh, get drunker, bro. Bitch!
Let's go.
Find all your favorite movies and shows faster with Xfinity. Just speak into the X1 voice remote to search across live TV, on demand, even Netflix and Prime Video. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity today and get a great offer. You'll enjoy Xfinity X1, which gives you access to your favorite streaming apps like Netflix, YouTube, and now Prime Video. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.